RNZ News at 11 o'clock. Atamaria. Good morning. I'm Karen McCarthy. The Public Service Association says cutting kaupapa Māori roles at Oranga Tamariki will gut the agency's cultural expertise. The agency is proposing to scrap 21 Māori specialist roles as part of a wider restructure, including a number of senior regional treaty advisory positions. The PSA's Kaihautū Māori, Janice Panoho, says the cuts will diminish the agency's ability to grow its understanding of te ao Māori.
The repercussion of these cuts extend beyond just mere job losses. The progress made in addressing the systemic issues that disproportionately affect Māori with years of expertise and cultural and institutional knowledge will be lost, leaving a void that cannot easily be filled.
Janice Panoho says the cuts will affect Māori communities for years to come. The new media minister says changes must be made in the industry urgently, but the government can't pay for everything. Paul Goldsmith picked up the portfolio this week when his predecessor, Melissa Lee, was booted from cabinet after coming under fire in the wake of huge job losses at TVNZ and News Hub. He says the media is clearly under pressure and the government has a part to play to level the playing field between traditional media companies and social media platforms, but he won't say how it will do that. He says the government will continue considering making tech giants like Meta and Google pay New Zealand media companies to use their content online. Labour says the Minister for Social Development, Louise Upston, has been dishonest about how the government plans to reduce the number of people on the unemployment benefit. The government has announced plans to shrink the number of people receiving job seeker support by 50,000 over the next 6 years. Labour's deputy leader, Carmel Sepuloni, says the minister has misled the public, with that target including people who reach pension age, move overseas, go to prison or die.
She has been putting out there very strongly, along with the Prime Minister, that it will be because of their intense focus on getting people into work. And now we see that actually the numbers are not going to just be determined by work exits.
But Louise Upston says the government will need to get people into work to meet its target, as similar numbers are expected to go on the benefit due to reaching the qualifying age, returning to New Zealand or coming out of prison. The organisers of a nationwide Rainbow Storytime event, which aims to teach children about inclusivity, say they've been forced to cancel it due to threats of violence. Taranaki-based drag queens Erica and Coco Flash were set to tour the country in June to coincide with the Out on the Shelves Rainbow Reading campaign. Last month, protests by Destiny Church forced the cancellation of their events in Hastings and Rotorua due to safety concerns. The organisers say they are proceeding with plans to take Destiny Church to court. A charity that helps train people in how to identify child abuse says any moves to make reporting of suspected child abuse mandatory must go hand in hand with regular training for frontline professionals. The ACT leader, David Seymour, signalled plans to introduce mandatory child abuse reporting during an announcement about changes to the early childhood sector. Safeguarding Children's Chief Executive Willow Duffy told 9 to Noon, there are several reasons a worker may choose not to make a report.
You would imagine that a child presenting with black eye or two black eyes or bruising or welt mark, you would imagine that people would step up and report that, but that doesn't always happen. For example, they are fearful for making it worse for the child. They're fearful of their own safety.
Willow Duffy says a full review of the Children's Act is required. Consumer confidence has turned more pessimistic and Wellington is the most downbeat region of all. The ANZ Roy Morgan Monthly Consumer Confidence Index fell 4 points in April to 82.1, which is near the lows seen during the 2008 global financial crisis, but slightly above more recent pandemic lows. A reading over 100 indicates optimism. More people think it's a bad time to buy an appliance. Only 5% expect to be better off this time next year, compared with 19% last month. ANZ senior economist Miles Workman says pessimism in Wellington is not surprising, given cuts to public service jobs. That's the news.
Last time on First Up, we met a Phoenix football fan, Steve Still, who supported that team through thick and a lot of thin.
I happened to be buying a car at the time, and the guy said, oh, the number plate's available. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll have a piece of that as well. So I bought it. So actually had the number plate before we even had a team announced.
And Labor's deputy leader, Carmel Cipollone, weighed in on the sacking of two cabinet ministers.
Christopher Luxon has tried to make out the portfolios needed to be with more senior ministers and refused to acknowledge that both the ministers had fallen short.
Download First Up, the podcast, or join me, Nathan Rarity, weekday mornings live from 5 on RNZ National.
Back to Susie Ferguson after the short forecast from Met Service to midnight tonight. For Northland, Auckland, Waikato, Coromandel and Bay of Plenty, showers, some heavy with possible thunderstorms, becoming isolated this afternoon, clearing later. Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, high cloud, isolated showers. Waitomo to Manawatu, including the central high country. Periods of rain, some heavy, easing to isolated showers this afternoon. Hauruwhenua to Wellington, also Wairarapa, Nelson and Marlborough. A few showers, clearing around midday. Canterbury, occasional rain about the high country. Showers elsewhere with possible thunderstorms and hail this afternoon, easing this evening. Buller and Westland, periods of rain, heavy at times with thunderstorms possible, clearing from the south this afternoon and evening. Otago, Southland and Fiordland, showers, some heavy with hail and possible thunderstorms about the coast, easing this afternoon, and snow above 500 metres this morning. Chatham Islands, occasional rain developing this afternoon, heavy this evening. RNZ National, it's 11:06. Our next news and weather in midday report and headlines around 11:30.
Kia ora, thank you very much, Karen. For the news, it's 11 o'clock, just after 11 o'clock now on 9 to noon, and it's a Friday, and that means we're going to be talking with our comedians Michelle Aycourt and Irene Pink at around 11:45. Also, around 11:30, Sam Ackerman, sports commentator, will be in to talk about some pretty exciting stuff, certainly if you're a Wellington Phoenix fan, coming up this weekend. First, though, let's talk music with Jeremy Taylor, our commentator who's in the studio. Kia ora, good morning.
Kia ora, Susie Ferguson, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Now, we were just talking about Record Store Day.
Yeah.
How was that
was
for
last
you?
Saturday. Well, it was just crazy. And like last year there was so we sort of got a bit of a double whammy this year because the Friday the Taylor Swift record came out at 4:01 p.m. so it was time to all, you know, come out at exactly the same time all around the world, I guess. And then a couple of days out, we got told that there'd be another 3 coloured vinyl variants, each with an extra track, which we would be getting, which there's a lot of interest in. So that was pretty crazy, pretty full on. And right before what is traditionally our busiest day of the year, Record Store Day. So it was a bit of a... felt a bit like we got double body slammed, but it was good and it was really exciting. And we're going to play a couple of things from things that were issued on vinyl for the first time for Record Store Day this year, which is something that happens now.
Yeah, and something else that I suppose is interesting at this particular time, you know, the cost of living crisis and no one has any money and people are losing their jobs. And did that dampen the day at all?
No, it was pretty busy, and I think maybe people still, it's a real marker that people still attach meaning and value to a physical artifact. Like maybe they buy less frequently physical objects, but I think with everything now accessible digitally online, on streaming services and things, I think people, and especially, curiously, young people seem to place a much higher value on a physical artifact. So, and people make things that are nice things to have, that are coloured vinyl or have booklet inserts with photographs, beautiful packaging. I mean, there's not really any replacement for it all. So to that end, we're also just discussing, you know, when you sort of think, oh, how long ago did that album come out? It must have been about a decade ago.
About 10 years ago?
About 10 years ago. And yet here we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of an absolutely tremendous record. It's the first Air album, French duo. It's just one of those records that really seeped into the consciousness, that got played lots in cafes. It's had lots of songs turn up on ads. It's been reissued in a 25th anniversary Explorer edition over 2 CDs with a whole bunch of extra tracks and B-sides and remixes and things. But I thought, let's just go straight for the jugular. Let's play the big hits from this record. It still sounds so terrific. It's one of those records you listen to from start to finish, not a weak track on it.
Yeah, Moon Safari is a fantastic record, but also it is one of those that I suspect for a lot of people, like myself, a youngster, where this only just came out 10 years ago, take you back to a certain time of your life too.
It really will. Mm. So this is Air from the 25th anniversary reissue of Moon Safari. This is called Sexy Boy.
Sexy boy.
Singular.
From Moon Safari, which is the reissue.
It's just aged so well. For something that's
so
25
good.
Years old, and it was one of those real cafe albums that got played a lot, but I just think it's really held its own and it's aged very gracefully.
Mm.
Hugely influential record, not necessarily in a good way, like lots of the things that it influenced don't have anywhere near this quality of songwriting.
Like
or,
what?
Oh, there was just so much of that. And I mean, you know, sort of things like sort of trip-hoppy stuff as well. Things that were kind of electronic, but stuff that was very calculatedly commercial.
Mm.
I don't want to name names because somebody will take offence. But we came out of that one a little bit early, so we can play another one. I know this is a favourite of yours, Susie Ferguson.
So let's like this one.
Play one more from the 25th anniversary reissue of Air Moon Safari. This is Kelly Watch the Stars.
Thank you.
from the 25th anniversary reissue of Air Moon Safari. That's Kelly Watch the Stars. Just still sounds so fresh.
It's so great.
And
it's
such a great record from start to finish. Well worth reinvestigating. Now,
100% agree.
We're into the things that saw vinyl release for the first time on Record Store Day last Saturday. I was really excited about this one. This is the fourth solo album by Kirsty MacColl, whose music I absolutely love. I loved the album Kite and the subsequent record that was excellently titled Electric Landlady. And this one was the album called Titanic Days, which I'd heard a few times, but somehow I'd factored out that there is a Johnny Marr co-write on it, which is always very exciting.
Yeah, I don't know this one at all, actually, so I'm looking forward to
really
it.
Really terrific song. So this was from Record Store Day. It was reissued on green vinyl. This is Kirsty MacColl's Titanic Days. This is a Johnny Marr co-write. This is called Can't Stop Killing You.
He blew into town like a paper sack in a stolen car with a shotgun in the back. He said, she can't run now, she can't hide. I'm gonna get her back for her lies, lies, lies. Well, he taught her how to pout and he taught her how to tease and he taught her how to beg when she fell down to her knees. He said, your face is different, but you're really all the same. I have to teach you a lesson again and again. See, I feel no pleasure, and I feel no pain. So what else can I do? I can't stop killing you. Such a little Hitler, and he loves the feel of power that she gives him through her terror. Ooh, I can't stop killing you. Well, she looked into the mirror as she smoked a cigarette, and she wondered where she'd go now to find a place she could forget all the things he said he'd do. I can't stop killing you. Lightning.
McCall.
It's
what a
fantastic,
voice.
fantastic phrasing.
Yeah.
Just absolutely knockout. So absolutely loving. And it's like having a completely fresh record and really strong record from start to finish. That's Kirsty McColl, Titanic Days, reissued for Record Store Day on Saturday. Now, another one, this is a bit of a... I don't know that we have guilty pleasures anymore. I think you just like what you like, right?
No, I think this is one of your guilty pleasures.
I think this is possibly a guilty pleasure. But when the Spice Girls went their separate ways, I mean, Jerry had a pretty big career and sporty Mel C was big. But the one who flew under the radar a bit, but who I thought had the best single, post-Spice Girls single of all of them, was Emma Bunton, Baby Spice. Mm-hmm. So this was reissued for Record Store Day. The album is called A Girl Like Me. This is Emma Bunton from the Spice Girls. This is called What Took You So Long.
It's a good pop song.
Memorable pop songwriting. Mm. So that one's out on vinyl now. Mm-hmm. Add it to your copy of Spice World. In your collection, Susie.
You know that I have that in my collection.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, of course
I mean, we all do.
I'm a woman of a certain age. The Spice Girls were the thing.
Go on with you.
Now, to another pop sensation.
Well, yeah.
Well, is it a pop sensation?
Well, we've been sort of talking about this. I think it's almost this sociological phenomenon.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Taylor Swift effect, where mm-hmm. anything that she kind of mentions, or so there's a pub in London called the Black Dog that's referenced mm. in one of the songs on the new record, which is apparently now being inundated with probably orange juice drinking Swifties, and they put the album on and they all sing along to it, and they're just packed from morning to night. She name checks a big favourite band of mine, the Scottish group The Blue Nile, on one of the tracks on this mm-hmm. new record, and the track The Downtown Lights, which I think, if nothing else, if people go away and listen to The Blue Nile, then job done, and I doff my cap to her. But it's just so massive. It's such a phenomenon.
What do you make of the album itself, though?
Well, this is, of course, the new Taylor Swift record out the day before Record Store Day, which mm-hmm. was a bit of a process in and of itself. It's called The Tortured Poets Department. Lyrically, I find some of it a bit clunky, but, you know, realistically, who cares what I think about it? Because people are crazy about the stuff. And the shows in Melbourne and Sydney that I know some people went to just said absolutely phenomenal. But it's a Beatles-scale phenomenon. I think about bands that I think of as being huge social impact or change the world or the biggest band in the world, like somebody like Nirvana. Mm. But Nirvana wouldn't have been able to play, you know, six nights in stadiums in Sydney to 100,000. No. Nirvana were never as big as what the Foo Fighters are now. But the whole sound of this record is very sort of downbeat. I wonder if they sort of rushed it out a little bit on the heels of the Eras
Tour.
Yeah. It's very, like people sort of talk about chill wave or vapor wave as a stylistic thing, so lots of synths and stuff. I kind of miss the guitars a little bit, so we're going to play the one track.
There's no real banger on it.
Nah, like a Shake It Off or a
You Don't
Bad
Need
Blood
a Banger, maybe, but, you know, I was listening to it and thinking maybe there's...
We love
maybe
a banger,
coming,
though,
it's
don't
coming,
we?
It's coming, and then it doesn't...
Nah,
yeah.
not that sort of record,
no.
but I think this one's sort of crept under the radar a bit, and it's mm-hmm. a bit guitar-y. It's co-written with a guy, Aaron Dessner, from the group The National, so we're going to play this to go out today. This is Taylor Swift. This is from the Tortured Poets Department. This one's called Clara Bow.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Taylor.
Thanks, Susie. Cheers.
Monster.
Future's bright.